Options involve risk and are not suitable for all investors. Individuals should not enter into options transactions until they have read and understood the risk disclosure document, characteristics and risks of standardized options. Available by calling 1-888-OPTIONS or by visiting optionseducation.org. None of the information in this presentation should be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell a security or to provide investment advice. This is part two of the Options Industry Council's six-part series, Developing a Trading Strategy.
So markets move for, of course, many, many reasons. I have just a couple here. One would be interest rates. Another would be macroeconomic government reports, industrial production, capital spending, and so on and so on. We have consumer confidence, which has been dropping. And what's interesting is sometimes when the reports are so bad, the equity markets actually take that as a good thing. Why? Because, again, interest rates are so key. So when the numbers are so bad, as we're seeing in housing, the vice chairman of the Fed came out today and said, well, maybe we're going to have to cut rates some more. So what did the market do? Took off. Because the stock market seems to like lower interest rates. The growth of individual companies is often measured by earnings per share. But again, we have unexpected, quote-unquote, shocks to the domestic economy or international economies. And recently it's been subprime. Who really knows? Is it going to be high-yield bonds in the future? Is it going to be, you know, some other sort of credit worthiness? I don't pretend to know, but I know sometimes the market is so focused on what's happening, like right now, that they don't really, we don't think about what some low probability event. Trading psychology, again, gaining confidence but not overconfidence. Don't get too confident. And I've done this many times in my trading career. You feel like you're invincible because whatever you do, it's right. And then sometimes you get in it, whatever you do, it's wrong. You know, you were long up until yesterday and you bailed out the day before you got out and the market's up and up. And then, you know, it just seems like sometimes whatever you're doing is wrong. So what's the best thing to do? Cut back on your size of trading. Maybe rethink what your trading methodology is. There are a lot of things. So, but you know, that's what you, it's a constant process. You want to trade in your comfort zone, not anyone else's. And this is another key point. So you want to assume that all your trades aren't going to necessarily work out, at least from day one. And that's what I call a plan B. Consider the phrase, the return on your money versus the return of your money. Remember, it's, you know, the markets can feel, it can be great when you're winning, but when you have strategies that aren't working, you want to actually try to mitigate those risks. So markets are like soap operas. They go on forever with similar themes. So if you hadn't turned on a television in the last year, let's say you just turn it on today, and oops, they're talking about interest rates. Well, of course, they're talking about how earnings are going to be in the future and how the holiday season is going to be. So that means that you don't ever have this urgency that you have to trade today, tomorrow, or the next day. But there are trading opportunities, and you want to have your plan so that when you feel that your view is a bit different than the market's view, that's an excellent trading opportunity. The whole setup is there. Sometimes, at least the way I feel, is that if I have the same view as the market, it's a little scary because the risk-reward may not be that great for me. Of course, markets can move very, very quickly. And again, we're amazed as investors on how quickly they can move, and we come up with, in retrospect, all these reasons. But prior, we didn't think of it. And of course, we can watch the same shows on television, and they'll tell us why the market moved in the past. It's basically irrelevant. Why the market moved in the past, who really cares? What's going to happen in the future? That's the most key point. All your goals are going to be based on your trading style, because if you're not emotionally committed, it can be a problem. So some choices for your time frame, you could be at longer term, intermediate term, longer term I call position, intermediate, which I would call swing trading, and intraday, which would be short term. Your style will help form your trading methodology, whether it's cover calls, buying calls or puts, option spreads, or any other strategy. So there isn't one best strategy, I will tell you that, because I always get that question. Steve, there must be this holy grail out there. Please tell me what it is so I can trade using that strategy. It doesn't exist. Something may work for a year or two or three, and then it doesn't work at all for a while, and it really depends. So it's going to be based on your own goals and your own risk tolerances. So the position is normally as short as a few weeks, and it could be as long as a few years. Swing trading can be any period longer than a day. That's why options are great. Now, because again, maybe you have a view on a certain company, but you just don't know, will my view come true 4 months from now, 8 months from now? Maybe if you think 8 or 9 months from now, maybe you buy a one-year leap or a leap call spread or a put spread. So you have a lot of choices. If you think that you have a view very short-term, well, then you're probably going to trade the most short-term options, but you have to recognize that the shortest-term options are going to have a lot of what's called the time decay or theta risk. And intraday trades, of course, are going to be closed out each and every day. I find that's very challenging. So, yes, today you say, oh, boy, I wish I had bought something yesterday at the close because I could have sold it much higher today. But again, intraday trading, some are very good at it, others not so good. So you have to look at yourself, decide what you're good at, and try to accentuate the positives. So which time frame is best for you? Well, it's going to depend on, of course, what you're most comfortable forecasting. Many investors feel more comfortable with position trades, and again, some with swing trades. Intraday trading is probably the most challenging because you need precision. And you also need to do it 8 hours a day. So how can you do day trading if you don't have 8 hours in a day? So if you have a full-time job, you probably can't day trade. Information, of course, is going to be vital for all of us. So, but you have to decide what you need and be careful because you can get information overload. Sometimes you get so much information, it doesn't help you. There's a certain amount of information that you need, but then 10 times as much information is probably not going to give you 10 times the results. So some professionals would categorize investing as either bottom-up or top-down. An investment approach that emphasizes the significance of economic cycles, I call it looking at the big picture, will be classified as top-down. Investors using this approach would normally trade broad sectors or possibly narrow-based sector indexes or ETFs. An investment approach that de-emphasizes the significance of economic and market cycles will be classified as top-up approach. So if I'm looking at the economy in general, well, maybe I'm trading indexes, or maybe I'm trading foreign currency options. That's really what you're looking for, a sort of a broad view of the economy. The bottom-up would be the opposite. So the bottom-up is going to be where I'm actually selecting specific companies. So the bottom-up, I'm looking at sectors and companies. Top-down, I would be looking at the economy. So I stand corrected there. And that really depends on if you feel comfortable in macroeconomic or microeconomic. That would be more microeconomic. Macroeconomic would be more of the broad economy. So once you determine your acceptable risk and reward balance and how you view the markets, you can select an appropriate asset to trade. So as I said, whether you're trading equity options, index options, foreign currency options, ETF options, that's entirely up to you. It's going to be based on your personality. So some of you probably like trading, let's say, index options because you know that that index isn't going to gap up or down 20% overnight. If you're trading equity options, well, we know it's highly unlikely, but equity options can gap 20 or 30, 20 or 50%, any number. We've seen some of the largest cap stocks gap down. They rarely gap up, although I guess occasionally if there's a takeover, you could have stocks that are gapping up. It's going to depend, of course, on your personality. So I have many different strategies. I have plain vanilla stock. I have stock and short call, which I call the covered call, the synthetic short put. Long call, long put, long stock and long put, which is essentially a long call. Short stock and long call is essentially a long put. And again, some of those, if you go down the list, why would I do a short stock and long call? I probably wouldn't. But what I'm trying to show you is that that position is going to equal a regular option that you could buy. For most of us, selling the stock and buying a call is going to create more commissions and it's going to create more slippage than just quite simply buying the put. But if you ever ended up with a position of short stock and long call, I'd want you to know that that risk reward is going to act just like a plain old put. I could also create long stock and long a lower strike put and a simultaneous sale of a higher strike call, and that would be called a collar. So I could collar a position. Normally, investors create collars when they have concentrated positions. So that would be one reason where you had an inordinate amount of assets in one specific stock, let's say. I could do the long lower strike call and short higher strike call. That's a vertical call spread. And of course, that would have worked very well today. I could have do the opposite, where I'd be long a higher strike put and sell a lower strike put. That wouldn't have worked out so well today. But again, these are limited risk strategies. So I could do, these are debit option strategies. All I can lose is the amount that I put into the trade. I could buy two puts against stock. So just think about that. I have a stock, I want it to go up. But if it goes down a lot, I would actually profit. And that would also be called a synthetic long straddle or long volatility. So you could see endless possibilities for using options. I just came up with a couple, but there are definitely dozens and dozens more out there that you can create that make sense based on certain forecasts. I could sell an out-of-the-money call spread and an out-of-the-money put spread, which would be an iron condor. Now, this position worked really well in 2004, 2005, and 2006, if you actively manage these positions. However, in 2007, volatility is going up. This hasn't worked that well. That doesn't mean it won't work again. So that's what I'm trying to say, is that you need to watch what's going on in the markets, and you know there are times where this position is going to work quite well. So you don't want to ever trade positions that you don't understand. And that's a key point. You know, and I see this a lot. And again, the beautiful thing now with the internet and all the different ways, there's a lot of ways to learn. But remember, there's no holy grail in a certain strategy. So somebody comes up and says the best option strategy, for instance, is the iron condor. You got to do it. You got to remember that there isn't any best strategy. And there are times when that strategy will perform very poorly. Of course, there's going to be times that it performs very, very well. If the forecast for you is that you feel the volatility is going to decline, well, maybe that iron condor makes sense. But if you didn't understand how that position would hurt you, then it's going to be problematic. So you don't want to trade option strategies that you're not compatible with your own risk-reward trade-offs. So you don't sell a straddle if you're not comfortable with losing a lot of money occasionally. You don't buy a straddle if you don't think the market isn't going to move a lot. So you want to understand how these positions would benefit and then have your view of the markets and then sort of merge those two together. Again, trade in your comfort zone, not someone else's.
We hope you found developing a trading strategy part 2 helpful. Next in the series is part 3, available at www.optionseducation.org. And please remember, if you have an options-related question, call us at 1-888-OPTIONS or visit www.optionseducation.org.